you, Brother Andy. Thank you, church, for praising God today. And we're going to give God praise, and we're going to continue to worship Him in Luke chapter 6. So go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 6. A little over a year and a half ago, God gave me some new best friends. And I call them my running fellas. We got a little group called Running with the Fellas. And we text each other, and we encourage each other. And yes, we run together, hence the name Running with the Fellas. And I have a playlist a lot of times that I listen to because we don't always get to run together. We try to run together at least once or twice a week. But a lot of times we run by ourselves. You know, we're out there on the road running by ourselves, training for the next whatever, you know, 5K, 10K, half, or full marathon. But I have this playlist, and Brother Andy probably don't know this, and I know Brenda don't know this, but that song by Charity Gill, I believe, is on my playlist. And one of my favorite things to do is to somehow, some way, turn myself and run toward the east and watch that sun come up in the morning and watch God paint that sky. And just a week or so ago, I was able to do that. I went one direction and turned around and was running back towards my house, towards the east. And man, that sky was coming up. I mean, that sun was coming up, and the sky looked like cotton candy. I mean, I just wanted to eat cotton candy so bad in that moment because that's what it looked like, pink and blue and yellow. I mean, I thought I was going to the fair and going to get me some cotton candy. But anyway, that song came on, and I just started praising God while I was running, and I was giving God thanks for who He is and for what He's done for me. And That group that I told you about, Running with the Fellas, we have a verse that we have really kind of claimed as our verse. And it's not part of the message today, but after she sang that song and after we worshiped with that song, I wanted to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, right? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Well, what an awesome passage of Scripture, amen? And you know, when I think about who Jesus Christ is in my life and what Jesus Christ has done for me, I'm reminded in Luke chapter 6, right? I'm reminded that Jesus calls. And we've already seen this. We actually saw it in Luke chapter 5. Jesus calls. He's been calling since He got here, right? He's been calling since He got here. Just think about it. In Luke chapter 5, He called sinners to repent and believe. And then He started calling by name those He wanted to be His disciples. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today. But have you ever wondered why Jesus calls you? And why Jesus calls me? Why would Jesus call you? Why would Jesus call me? Like, think about it. I mean, our very best is what? A filthy rag compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So why would Jesus call you? Why would Jesus call me a filthy rag to Himself? Well, I believe we've seen it all throughout the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, I want to share with you just a couple of scriptures of why I believe Jesus calls you and me. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer. It's because God loves us. That's why Jesus calls. It's because God loves us. I don't know where you are right now in your life. I don't know what you got going on. I don't know what kind of sin you're in the midst of. I don't know how long you've been running from God or if you've even thought about God. It doesn't change the fact that God loves you. God loves you. As a matter of fact, listen to this. Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 and 23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Aren't you thankful? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. Did we not just hear that in the song we sang? He never fails. They are new every morning. His compassion, his mercy, it's new every morning. And here it is. Great is your faithfulness. That's why Jesus calls. Listen to this. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Do you want to know why Jesus came and called sinners to repentance and faith in him? Because of God's great love. Because of God's compassion upon us sinners who deserve his wrath, yet he pours out grace and love. I could go on and on throughout the Old Testament and show you why Jesus calls. I'm going to show you in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Paul wanted everyone to know just how much God loved them. And so here's what he said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So please hear this. God's not waiting for you to clean yourself up and then come to him and get some love. He wants you to have his love right now. And he'll do the cleaning up. He'll do the cleaning up. I believe there's so many people today who don't come to God, who don't come to church and listen to what God has to say to them because they don't think they're good enough. I'm going to tell you what, ain't nobody in this building good enough. I don't care how long you've been in the church, how long you've been a deacon, how long you've been a teacher, or how long you've been a preacher, you ain't good enough. And you'll never be good enough. But you don't have to, because God abounds in love, abounds in mercy, and abounds in grace. And all you got to do is come to him as you are. That's why Jesus calls. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I pray, listen, this is Paul praying for you and me. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? In love, God's love, that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Listen to me. God loves you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. God loves you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You can't change God's love for you. You can't be bad enough to change his love for you, and you can't be good enough to get more of his love. He's already given you all of his love through Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus calls. That's why Jesus calls. And so in Luke chapter 6, what we're going to see today is that out of that calling, Jesus actually designated his 12 disciples to also go out and be his apostles. All right, so I'm going to use two church words for you today, two Bible words for you today, and we're going to really see what it means. He called his 12, first of all, to be his disciples, but then he appoints them and designates them to be his apostles, and that's two different things. A disciple and apostle, listen, they are the same, but they're different in meaning. They're different in intent. And so the word disciple, let's start there. The word disciple in the Greek language, it means to be a learner or a pupil. That's what it means, to be a learner or a pupil. And listen to me, discipleship matters. Discipleship is important. Discipleship is where you are learning the Word of God. You are bathing in the Word of God. That's why Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so being a disciple means to be a learner. It means to be a pupil, which means there must be a teacher. There must be someone to teach you, right? And that's who Jesus was to the disciples. And so the Holman Bible Dictionary goes on to say this. It was the task of a disciple to learn, to study, and then to pass along the sayings of the master or the teacher. And so the best ways to learn from the master, the best way to learn from the teacher is to listen and look. To listen and to look. The closer you are to the teacher, the better you can hear him. The better you can listen to him. The closer you are to the teacher, the better you can see him. And I'm telling you this because that's what the scriptures teach us. I'm going to show you this. All right, so that's a disciple. So the next question is, Brother Jeff, what is an apostle? How is that different? Well, are you ready? An apostle in the Greek language means one who is sent forth with a message. One who is sent forth with a message. Now, when Luke uses the word apostles, he is actually referring to Jesus's 12 apostles. Why? Because they were given authority and power by Jesus himself to go forth, to go out and preach the gospel and drive out demons. So when I think of apostleship, you say, Brother Jeff, what's different? What is different between discipleship and apostleship? Discipleship is sitting underneath the teacher and learning. Apostleship is actually exercising, going out and exercising what you've learned sitting underneath the teacher. Does everybody understand that? So discipleship almost is like in the classroom, sitting still, being taught by the teacher. Apostleship, the bell has rung, and it's time to go out those doors and do something with what you've learned. Now, teachers are going, man, can you come tell my students that? Because I'm having to work the same multiplication, you know, facts with them every day. Well, listen, I was one of them kids, okay? You had to keep, listen, you still have to do that to me. I still don't know how to do math. I can spell every one of them numbers, but please don't ask me to add them up. I'm not good at that, okay? But that's what this is. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how Jesus called not only these 12 to be his disciples, but called them to apostleship. Now, what I want to do also is I want, and I'm not going to do this a lot when I'm covering the book of Luke, but I do want to do it from time to time. You know, the other gospels, right, sometimes have parallel accounts. And one of the best parallel accounts of this passage is in Mark. So what I want to do is I want to share with you how Mark says it and then look at how Luke says it. They're not different, but they definitely focus on some things, and I don't want to miss the big picture. So here's what I want to do. I actually want to start with Mark chapter 3. So hold your hand there in Luke chapter 6 and flip forward just a couple of chapters into Mark chapter 3. It's the same story, just in a different way, okay? So listen to it. Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. Don't you love that? I'm going to tell you right there, I'm already foaming at the mouth. Listen to me. Jesus didn't need these 12. He wanted them. Isn't that good? Because listen to me. Today, after church, we're going to go get some lunch. And it's because I need it. But I'm not going to get what I want. Do you know why? Because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. But you can bet your bottom dollar the Lord gives me air in my lungs and I'm alive tomorrow, they going to see me tomorrow around 11 o'clock, okay? It's something special when it says Jesus wanted them. Not that he needed them, he wanted them. Don't you love that? It says Jesus called to himself those he wanted and they came to him. Now look at the order of this. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Do you see that? That they might be with him. In other words, come to him and sit with him. Sit underneath his teaching. This is discipleship. And then it says, and that, in other words, that ain't all. There's more to it than just the discipleship. And that he might send them. Do you know what that is? That's apostleship, that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out the demons. So that's awesome. I love the way Mark says it, okay? Now let's go to Luke chapter 6. Because if you keep reading that passage in Mark, he's going to do the exact same thing that Luke does. He's going to tell you the names of the 12. So we're about to get there. Luke chapter 6. So let's look at how Luke gives us this same occurrence. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. That's a very important detail. He went on to the mountainside to pray. And what did he do? He spent the whole night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated, what's the word? Apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter. His brothers, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who is called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So, let's look at this passage, and let's look at it in full context. Like, let's take what Mark said, let's take what Luke said, and let's just look at it in complete totality, right? Complete context. First and foremost, how important was this calling to Jesus? I would say it was extremely important. Thank you. Very, extremely, right? Jesus viewed this moment as crucial for kingdom ministry. How do I know that? Because he prayed all night long. I want you to think about that for just a second. Some of you think I pray too long, right? Oh, man, he's fixed to start praying. I bet they thought that yesterday morning when I was praying over Equipped. They thought, oh, boy, he's fixing to pray for an hour and a half. Now, I'm being serious. Some of us think 2 minutes is too long. Some of us think 5 minutes is too long. Some of us absolutely think 30 minutes is just way too long to pray. Man, God knows what you want to say. Well, sometimes God wants to hear what you have to say. And sometimes God wants you to shut your mouth and open your ears and listen to what he has to say. We are real bad about putting a timeline on our prayers. God, let me tell you what I got to say. Amen. And I got this to do and that to do and this to do and that to do. And then we wonder why we can't have some intimacy with God. Because we box him in with our prayer life. Jesus viewed this moment as crucial for kingdom ministry. He prayed all night long. And so listen, we know. How important prayer is in the life and ministry of Jesus. We see it throughout the Gospels. If you really want to see how important prayer ministry is with Jesus, go read the Gospel of John. Go read the Gospel of John and see when Jesus prayed, how Jesus prayed, why Jesus prayed, and look at the magnitude of his prayers. We know what the Scriptures tell us, but here's the thing. This passage, in my opinion, it challenges me. It challenges us. When's the last time we spent all night praying about anything? Much less kingdom ministry. Oh, we'll spend a whole lot of time praying for our physical health or the physical health of somebody else. We'll pray for 20 minutes about some financial help or some relational help or some mental help. But when's the last time we prayed about kingdom ministry? When's the last time we prayed about reaching the lost with the gospel? When's the last time we prayed about discipleship? When's the last time we prayed about apostleship? God, show me where you want me to go. God, show me who you want me to talk to. Give me what you want me to say. When's the last time we prayed about that for 5 minutes? For 10 minutes? For an hour? Much less all night long. This was crucial. This was crucial in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. The choosing of the 12 was not some random occurrence. It was not just a casual thing. I'll take you. That's not how it happened. And the Scriptures don't teach that. It says Jesus prayed about it. And he prayed about it. And he kept on praying about it. I believe this was as intense of a prayer as it was when he was in the garden, praying for God's will to be done with his life. And so what we see next is that Jesus called them to himself. Okay? That's the first calling. He called them to himself. And again, what is that? That's discipleship. He called them to himself. We must never, ever underestimate or minimize this truth. Jesus wanted these disciples to be with him. This was a personal and intimate relationship with each one of these men. He wanted them to know God by knowing him. He wanted them to experience the deep, the wide, the high love of God. That's what he wanted. That's why Paul said it the way he said it in Ephesians. He wanted them to know the love of God and experience the love of God. You know what this was? This was called connection. You say, Brother Jeff, is that where you got that whole connected thing? You're absolutely right. That is exactly where I wrote down that word connected one day when me and Jeremy were in a hotel room in, you know, Nashville, Tennessee at a conference. I wrote down connected and I read Mark chapter 3. Jesus wanted them to be with him. He wanted connection. He wanted to connect them with the Father. And Jesus said the only way that you and I can be connected to the Father is through him. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. So this was about connection first. Jesus knew that the only way these disciples could be his apostles is if they were filled with the love of God, if they were filled with the Spirit of God, if they were filled and experiencing for themselves the grace and the mercy of God. Let me tell you something. If you have a problem extending grace and mercy to someone else, it's because you truly haven't experienced grace and mercy for yourself. I'm just telling you. You don't like that answer? So what? You don't have to listen to me. But if you have a problem extending grace and mercy to someone else, I don't think you fully realize God's grace and mercy for yourself. Because, man, we look in the mirror and we're so proud of ourselves. Man, I'm going to church. Look at this. My shirt's ironed. I look good. I've gone to church 12 Sundays in a row. God's going to be so proud of me. We get so full of ourselves and proud of ourselves. And that's why it's hard to extend grace and mercy to someone else who don't look like us, talk like us, act like us, and haven't been to church for 12 Sundays. Because we have forgotten what really and truly grace and mercy is in our own lives. How can we extend something to someone else if we ain't got it? How can we extend something to someone else if we don't understand it? It's impossible. So do you see what Jesus was doing? He called them to himself for personal and intimate connection with God so that they could experience the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. Why? So that they could go out and actually be the grace, the love, and the mercy of God to others. We better get the order right because it's given to us in order here. I love this. You know, in order to be vessels of God, ambassadors of God in this world, we have to be connected to God. And the only way to be connected to God is through Jesus. Dr. David Jeremiah says this, by the virtue of their intimate connection to Jesus, all of Jesus' followers are able to represent Jesus to a lost and hurting world. So Dr. Jeremiah wasn't just talking about the 12 in Luke chapter 6. He's talking about anybody who repents and puts their faith in Jesus isn't connected to God. Anybody who is connected to God can actually be his ambassador in this world. And so for these disciples, it was days and nights together. It was weeks and months together. It was even years together in a loving, personal relationship with Jesus, learning about him and learning from him. Discipleship. But it says that Jesus not only called his 12 disciples, he what? He appointed them to go forth. He appointed them to go forth. That is apostleship. So as they continued to spend time with Jesus, listening to his words, watching how he lived, how he worked, right? Jesus, he then empowers them to do the same things. To do the same things. So Jesus will give them special authority. He'll give them special power to now go forth and preach the gospel message. Teach the gospel message to others and to drive out demons and so much more. We're going to see even more than that as we keep moving forward in Luke's gospel. I love another pastor, Pastor Mal Couch. I love the way he said it. He said, these 12 men will actually go out and change the course of human history as the first line witnesses of the words and works of Jesus Christ. So let me tell you, let's look at it in context. These 12 are what I like to call the original disciples and apostles. And what I mean by that was they were eyewitnesses. First line, first hand eyewitnesses to Jesus Christ in the flesh. God in flesh, Emmanuel. They actually saw him with their eyes, heard them with his ears, sat down with him, walked with him. That's who they were. And so Pastor Mount Couch said these 12 were actually empowered and enabled to go out and change the course of human history. And guess what? They did. They did. Now, I'm not glorifying them. I'm not giving them praise, okay? I'm not doing that. I'm going to glorify Jesus Christ and give him praise because he wanted them for himself. And appointed them, because here's the thing, when you're appointed, that means a higher power had to do it. When you're appointed to a position, appointed to something, that means somebody with a whole lot more power than you gave you that opportunity. And that's why I always say, Jesus didn't call us to sit around and watch. Jesus called us to, yes, sit under him, discipleship. But discipleship always has a purpose and always has an end game. And that end game is apostleship. Now you're going, Brother Jeff, are you saying that Jesus has called me to be an apostle? That Jesus has called me to be an apostle? In this context, it may not be the same as these 12 men, but in our context, absolutely God has called you to be an apostle. One who is what? Sent forth. Right? Don't get hung up on a title. Did Brother Jeff say you're supposed to be a preacher? That's not what I said. You're called to apostleship. What's the meaning of apostleship? One who is sent out. Because what did Jesus give all of his disciples, all of his fathers? What command did he give them in Matthew chapter 28? Go out and do what? Make disciples. Right? Teaching them everything I have commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you to the end of the age. What did he tell them in Acts chapters 1 and 2? He said, you will go out and be my what? Witnesses. You know what that is? That's apostleship. Go out and be my witnesses. In other words, you got a message and you got a mission. And you can't do that sitting on your tailbone. Unless you got a big following on YouTube. So I want you to think about these men. I want you to think about these men that Jesus called. Because you're like, well, Brother Jeff, I mean, I'm not Peter, okay? I'm not James or John. I'm not Matthew. I'm not these guys. You're right, you're not. But I want you to think about these disciples he appointed as apostles. He called them and appointed them from all walks of life. Do you know they were fishermen? That's who they were. They were fishermen. You know what else they were? They were tax collectors. I'll tell you this, one of them was actually a political zealot. Yeah, a political zealot. Another one was a doubter. A couple of them were hotheads, right? We called them Sons of Thunder. We even got a Sunday school class named Sons of Thunder. But you know, every time I go there, they're not really thundering in there. I know the Sons of Thunder Sunday school class. They just don't come across as Sons of Thunder. I think they want to be. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. That's a message for another day. But what I want you to see is that Jesus even called one who is a traitor. So what I see is that Jesus can call whoever he wants. and use them for kingdom ministry. So what excuse have you got? I'm just a fisherman. I'm just a farmer. I'm just a teacher. I mean, I just work in a bank. Man, I drive a UPS truck. I don't get to talk to nobody all day. I'm just this or I'm just that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can call whoever he wants and use whoever he wants. Brother Jeff, you just don't know. I have turned my back on God. Jesus called a traitor to be a part of kingdom ministry. Actually allowed him to be a part of kingdom ministry knowing he was going to be a traitor. What's your excuse? Here's what I want you to see about these 12, okay? These 12, watch this. They were united by the Spirit of God. They were united with the message of God, and they were united for the mission of God. It wasn't about who they were before. It wasn't about being a fisherman or being a tax collector or being a zealot or being a doubter. It wasn't about all that, because you know what? The Spirit can change all that. The Spirit can bring you together and unite you. Unite you. And that's what happens here. The Spirit united these 12. United them with the message and the mission. I told you this earlier in Luke chapter 5. Jesus, his first call was to sinners. He called sinners to repentance. He called sinners to believe in him and faith. And that's where it starts. We've got to understand that Jesus, he came to save us from our sin. Jesus, he's the one who called us out of our darkness and into the marvelous and wonderful light of God. And why did he do that? So that we might be able to give him praise with our mouths and with our lives. And by the way, I wish I could tell you I came up with that. I did not. God gave it to Peter. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We were called out of darkness into light so that we might declare the praises of God. That's who we are. That's whose we are. That's why we are. And so when we are in Christ, when we are in Christ through the repentance of our sin and faith in Jesus Christ, do you know what we become? We become a new creation. Praise God. Huh? We become a new creation. What Jesus was doing with these 12 disciples was he was transforming them. He was transforming them. He was changing them. They were becoming something new in this world. And that's why they changed the world. That's why they changed the course of human history. I love that. And so we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It's not your efforts and my efforts. Do you know how many people are burned out in the church? Just burned out. Man, I have worked and served. I have worked and served. I have worked and served. Because here's the thing. I think so many of us, we focus on the working and serving that we miss the being with him. We miss it. Listen to me. Discipleship will never end for me. It'll never end for me. You think, oh, Brother Jeff's the pastor, apostleship. He's the one teaching. He's the one preaching. He's the one going forth. Listen to me. I can't do that if I don't keep sitting under the feet of Jesus. There's no power in me apart from Jesus Christ. If I don't have the Spirit of God in me, I can preach till I turn blue. It ain't gonna matter. I need the Spirit of God to fill me and permeate and overflow through me to really, really do kingdom ministry and kingdom work. Man, we can work ourselves to death, serve ourselves to death, and we get burned out. Oh, I don't want to serve anymore. I need a break. And then listen to me. I know we need rest. I know we need a break. I know there are times when we need to get out of it, and I'm okay with that. But some people get out and don't ever go back. Some people come up with all kinds of excuses of why they can't serve God. I'm too busy. You are too busy if you can't say yes to Jesus Christ. I make no apologies for that. I got mouths to feed too at the house. I got bills to pay too at the house. But if that stuff comes in between my relationship with God, it is idolatry. It is a God that I'm bowing to and serving. And I need to repent of it. You realize you've been reconciled to God? You've been made right with God through the perfect life of Jesus Christ? Through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ? You were bought at a price, at a high price. And again, these are not my words. You want me to point you to the scripture? Please let me do that. Thank you for asking me to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. One of the most powerful and best passages of scripture in the Bible when it comes to discipleship and apostleship. You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us. Don't miss that. Because some of us are satisfied with our get out of hell free card. Right? We play Monopoly. We get that get out of hell free card. And we're like, I'm good. I'm just going to live in my hotel on Park Avenue. But that ain't it. That ain't it. There's more to it. Listen to it. It says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, right? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, the message of reconciliation. So Paul says in verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Do you know what an ambassador is? An apostle. That's who an ambassador is. An ambassador is an apostle. It's someone who has been given authority and given power by the king and the kingdom, and given a message by the king from the kingdom to take somewhere else. That's what an ambassador is. So who does Paul say all of us are if we're in Christ? He says we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen to me. God didn't make you the righteousness of Christ so you could just sit in the mirror and look at it and go, oh, look at me. Oh, I'm clean. Oh, I've been set free. No, he made you the righteousness of Christ so that you could go out there and shine that light in the darkness where other people are lost and dying. That's why. You're saying, Brother Jeff, you're screaming, you're passionate. I sure am. Because I'm tired of 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. I'm ready for everybody to get in the game and get after it. If you played basketball for me all them years ago, you didn't want to be on my team if you didn't want to work. Because one of two things happened. You either worked and threw up, or you quit. Because I ain't got no time for that. I ain't got no time for you to come put on a uniform and just say, yeah, I'm on the team. No, I'm going to put you in the game and we're going to find out how hard you worked. We're going to find out how much you listened. And we're going to find out how much you truly, truly have experienced what's going on. Churches are dying. Do you know that? Churches are dying in America. Dying. Do you know there are other countries sending missionaries to the United States? They are. There are other countries sending missionaries to the United States. How pitiful is that? One of the greatest countries in the world ever. Blessed. But we got other people from other countries coming to tell us about Jesus Christ. Because churches are failing. Churches are dying. You want to know why? Because they want the uniform. They want the uniform. They want the shirts. They want the food that's served in the kitchen. They want the cushiony pews. They want the AC and the lights. But they don't want to go out there and actually do the work. Love God and love people. Hard things to do. Love people that are called enemies. Love people that don't receive the love. I am passionate about this. And it's not, please don't think that I'm pointing fingers and calling you out. I'm guilty too. trying to make something easy when it's not easy. Trying to make something comfortable when it's not comfortable. Jesus didn't call them to a life of comfort. He told them when they went out, don't take any extra clothes with you. Don't take any blankets. Don't take any food. What was he trying to teach them? This is going to be hard. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust me. See, I'm not going to preach that message today because it's coming. But he wanted them to trust him. He wanted them to trust the love, the grace, and the mercy of God so that they could actually be the love, the grace, and mercy of God to others. That's coming. So I want to ask you two questions because it's the question that makes all the difference. Ready? Number one, have you been reconciled to God? Have you been reconciled to God through your repentance of sin and your faith in Christ? See, it's hard to have a message and a mission, right, unless you're a part of the message and the mission. You can't truly plug in and be a part of God's team until you belong to God. Because to be an ambassador of God, you must be a child of God. To be an ambassador of God, you must be a child of God. And the way you become a child of God is you repent of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you are reconciled to God. In other words, you're made right with God. See, Jesus becomes your sin and you become the righteousness of Jesus. Anybody here ever said this before? Well, it just ain't fair. Have you ever said that before? Right, it just ain't fair. Now, normally we're talking about us. It ain't fair that he gets that. Why not me? It ain't fair that she does that and gets that, and why not me? A lot of times we go, it ain't fair. You want to know something? It ain't fair. It ain't fair that Jesus looks like me and I get to look like him when God looks at me. You're right. Ain't nothing fair about that. So that's the first call. Are you reconciled to God through repentance of your sin and faith in Christ? And if you are, how about this? Are you Christ's ambassador? Are you Christ's ambassador? Like, are you telling other people about Jesus Christ with your mouth and your life? With no excuses? Like you have been appointed, which means you have a responsibility. And it's not like I'm my own boss and I pick and choose. No, you are an ambassador, which means you work the hours that the king tells you to work and you do the work that the king tells you to do. And if you don't, you get fired. That's the way that works. Ask the federal government right now. You don't do the work you're supposed to do, bye. I ain't going to get political, I promise. So the question is, are you Christ's ambassador? Listen to me, I believe this. I believe there are a lot of us in this room right now, the calling in our lives is discipleship. I do believe that. I believe there's plenty of us in this room that right now, what we need to be doing is we need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to be underneath his teaching. We need to be underneath his life. We need to be looking at him and listening to him. We need to get as close to him as we can so that we can hear him loudly and clearly and so that we can see him and be intimate with him. I absolutely believe that some of us, we're not in the apostleship yet. We need to be in the discipleship. But I also believe that there are some who are ready for apostleship and we are just claiming and staking ourselves in the ground with discipleship. Oh, I just need more Bible study. Oh, I just need more prayer. Oh, I just, listen to me, you can keep using all of those excuses all you want, but God knows. God knows. See, some of us, we keep saying, I need more Bible study. Oh, I need more prayer. You absolutely do. But you can do the Bible study and do the praying and go out. Like I said a while ago, I am in discipleship and I ain't getting out until them skies split like Brenna sang about and Jesus calls me home or until I die. I'm going to be in discipleship till my last breath. But I'll tell you this, I am well into apostleship. There's no doubt God has called me to be an apostle, to be his ambassador. There's no doubt God sends me out every day to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ, to teach them and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of reconciliation. So my question is, right, where are you right now? Where do you need to be? Where does God want you to be? Are you Christ's ambassador? I pray that you are in discipleship, and I pray that if he has called you to apostleship, you will finally say yes. And you'll go where he wants you to go, and you'll do what he wants you to do. You'll serve. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe in the churches today, a lot of burnout can be remedied through two things. I'm not sorry if this offends you. Repentance and obedience. A lot of burnout can be remedied with repentance and obedience. You say, Brother Jeff, what do you mean by that? I have been there. You would have never known this, but about 3 to 4 years into being your pastor, I wanted to quit. I ain't talking about I wanted to quit being your pastor. I wanted to quit ministry. I was tired. I was quote unquote burned out. And here's the thing. It wasn't your fault, and it wasn't God's fault. I had made ministry my God. That's what happened. How much more work can I do? How much more can I do? How much more can I serve? And what I found out was that I had made the ministry, the apostleship, my little God. And it wasn't fulfilling my heart and my life. Do you know the only thing that can fulfill me is Jesus Christ himself? Not what I can do for him, but just sitting at his feet. So you know what I had to do? I called, and I wish I could tell you, I can't even remember who it was now, but I had to call one of my deacon brothers to come sit in that office with me and pray with me, and I just confessed, I want to quit. I'm tired. I'm burned out. But I know in my heart that's not God. It's me. I have tried to make this something that Jesus Christ never intended it to be. And so right then and there, I remember that deacon looked me in the eye and said, Brother, you just need to repent. And so I did. And that was, listen, I wish I could tell you, it all went away real fast and easy. It didn't. I had to keep practicing repentance. And I had to keep sitting at the feet of Jesus and be satisfied with Jesus before I could actually step out into the apostleship that he called me. Maybe that's where you need to be. Because apostleship also is not, it's not just burnout and the alleviation, the remedy of it is not just repentance, it's obedience. It's obedience to God. Obedience to be who he called you to be, empowered you to be, and enabled you to be. When and where? So maybe that's where you are. I don't know. Maybe today, you ain't an ambassador because you ain't a child of God. Because that's where it starts. Remember what I said? It starts with a call of repentance, of sin, and faith in Jesus Christ. You got to be a child before you can be an ambassador. And before you can be an ambassador, you got to be discipled. You see the order? We see it in Mark chapter 3. We see it in Luke 6. I pray to God today that he sets you free if you're bound. If you're bound by anything I've talked about today, ministry. If you're burned out, I pray today God will set you free. And it might be today, might be tomorrow, might be next week. It might take some time. But you hang on to God because he loves you. And you were made for more.